It's the Daily Gopher Football Podcast. Special guest this week, he's the manager, editor, founder, head writer, does a little of everything for him, and he does a great job. It's Mr. John Johnston. How you doing, sir?
Oh, pretty good. Looking forward to the first game in Minnesota as a member of the Big Ten.
You wanted to say first win in Minnesota, and you'd be okay saying that. At this point, I'm not even offended. It doesn't even bother me.
Well, I didn't, but, you know, Nebraska, well, we might as well just start right into football. I think there is some concern by Husker fans that Nebraska tends to play down to their opponent, but, you know, because we have so far. I mean, this year we really haven't. I think Nebraska fans are used to taking teams and just pummeling them. That's what we want to see, and we haven't seen that, and people are frustrated with that. And I mean, even though we've only got one loss, you'd swear that we're you know, a losing team and going in the toilet. So,
yeah, your standard is a little different. I'm telling you, if you guys are going to play down to Minnesota's level, just sit all your upperclassmen, take all the guys out of the two deep, and just play freshman and sophomore, and we should have a pretty competitive game, I think.
Hey, Kel did do that. He did. Is he just like throwing away the senior class, or is he?
Well, we had, especially defensively, they got 9 of 11 starters back from last year, and a lot of most of the upperclassmen that are on the roster too, the offensive guys came back. So we're like, well, look, I mean, I think everybody had a lot of hope for the year just because of how they ended last year. You know, they beat Illinois, they shocked Iowa, two teams that won bowl games. So we're like, okay, we've got coaches who finally know how to coach and know what they're doing and how to rebuild. And, you know, there might be some missteps here and there along the way. And especially with how they played USC in that second half. I mean, that was on the road, their first game, you know, held them scoreless in the half and only lost by two. And I don't know, then the bottom fell out from there. And I think he's just at the point where, you know, the upperclassmen, the seniors, a lot of these guys have just been through such kind of a roller coaster with bad coaching and different coordinators every year, seemingly. And I don't know if they're just spent, if they're just out, if, you know, what they had at one point is gone. But, you know, through the Michigan game, I think is when Kill finally pulled the plug on it and said, all right, look, the upperclassmen aren't getting it done. We're rebuilding. Let's just throw the kids in there. We might as well figure out what we've got. And I mean, at this point, I'm fine with it because, yeah, the upperclassmen had shown signs of it last year in brief periods this year, but it just hasn't happened.
Wow. Yeah, I could see that. I read somewhere that where some people think he's pushing them too hard and he's worn them all out and they're, you know, they don't have any energy left or anything, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's an intense guy. It's just kind of his personality, and he expects hard work and going at it. And I think certainly a night and day difference from whatever the hell Brewster was doing when he was here. But, you know, at the same time, he's won everywhere he's been. He's been doing it this way everywhere he's been with the same coaching staff and success. So I think it's just, you know, some of the guys might be feeling like they're pushed too hard or too much, but, you know, that's what he wants. I think he'll find the guys that'll play and respond to him. It's going to take some time.
What's the mood? See here, I'm asking all the questions.
Oh man. I think we're all glad hockey started and that the Gopher hockey team's done well and basketball's around the corner. Just had the, you know, the Midnight Madness tip off thing with Tubby Smith and everything else. I think a lot of people just wish we could fast forward to 2012. I mean, I think people understand that it's a rebuilding process. It's a new coach. It's a new system. And I think just a little bummed with really, I think just seeing this season, just how far they have to go again with the way they finished last year. I think we all thought maybe this would be a quick turnaround and this maybe would be a 5 or 6 win team this year if things went right. And it just hasn't happened. So you know, for us, I think we've got a pretty educated and intelligent readership over at the Daily Gopher. And I think people understand that this is unfortunately just how it is, but it's tough because, you know, it's your team and you want to see them win and you want to see them do well. And then when you turn on the TV or go to the games, it's not happening. So I don't know if that makes any sense. That's about where we're at, but.
It does. I mean, I've been watching Gopher football for years. Actually, in the early 90s, I was a season ticket holder of the Gophers for 3 years. Believe it or not, during the Jim Wacker era.
Yeah, that's that. We all thought, you know, we'd never see as bad as the Wacker era, and we're about back to it with the last couple of years. But I don't know. It's, you know, it's exciting, I think, to get Nebraska on here. You know, Minnesota's scheduling from here for the foreseeable future, it's going to be tough. I mean, that's a tough division they put us in with, you know, you guys in Iowa and Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern. Those are all perennial bowl teams. And then we get Wisconsin as our crossover. So, it's tough, but I like it. I mean, you know, you're going to generate interest here. You've got to win, but you've got to bring in some marquee, you know, names too. And I think that does it with Nebraska. So I think for this weekend, probably just put it aside, and it's just the, you know, lack of a better word, just the pageantry of Nebraska rolling in. You know, that hasn't happened in how long? I mean, I think we've played the most against you guys of any Big Ten team, but it's been a while since we played you, and since, let's be honest, you steamrolled us. So we'll get that going again.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, our division, you know, I went to the Madison game because I'd always wanted to go to a game at Camp Randall. And, you know, here it was. It was our first Big Ten game. And lo and behold, it was Nebraska playing at Camp Randall. And, you know, it was a great time except for the football.
Yeah.
But as I'm leaving the stadium, you know, the Wisconsin fans, some of them are yelling at us. You know, they're Wisconsin fans, and they're yelling. They're kind of in our face a little bit. But one guy yelled at me, and he goes, you know, we'll see you again in December. And I looked at him, and I said, you know, as bad as we played, you actually think we're going to make it back to rematch you guys in December? And he goes, of course. Your whole division sucks. You're going to beat each other to death, but you guys will still win it. So I kind of looked at that, and I thought, I don't know. You know, after getting the tar beat out of us by the Badgers, it wasn't probably the appropriate time for me to feel good about my football team. But I don't know. Right now it looks it's a really interesting division. It certainly isn't the Big 12 North, you know, and I think that's a huge adjustment that Nebraska fans and Nebraska fans are going to have to make. As that, you know, I mean, for years – you know, I mean, we haven't won a championship since, what, 2000. So, you know, it's been over a decade, but we still have this history of high expectations. And I think that we're going to have to get used to this idea that in the Big Ten, it's going to be a lot different. It's going to be, you know, maybe we win our division with three losses even, just because of the way you look at the SEC, right? And you've got a two-loss team going into a national title game. And, you know, the Big Ten is kind of, you know, nationally doesn't have the reputation that the SEC has. But, you know, things move around, and I'm guessing that it won't be a few years and we'll have a lot better reputation than probably just right now. Just because there aren't a lot of bad teams, you know what I mean? It's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a conference that usually sends 8 or 9 bowl teams a year, and you know, you can probably make that, you know, 8 or 9 or 9 or 10 with the addition of Nebraska. I mean, it's, you know, Minnesota and Indiana won't be going, probably not Purdue, but I mean, the other 9 have chances, and you guys especially. And I mean, it's, you know, the Big Ten brought in the shiny new toy in Nebraska, and they wanted to show them off, so, but it meant you guys got the brutal schedule. You know, you play the 3 toughest teams that, at least from the start of the schedule, from the Eastern or Leaders or whatever the hell we're calling that division. But, you know, you guys had to get Wisconsin and Ohio State and Penn State, as well as the division slate that you've got. And, I mean, it definitely makes for tough going. I mean, your schedule was no treat for you here to start in your first year in the conference.
Yeah, my understanding is that ours are buy-in. You know, get the big names, get the teams, you know, the games on TV at the highest tier, and buy our way into the conference. But, well, and I guess seeing where we're at, you know, I think for us it's still, you know, Bo Pelini has kind of rebuilt the defense, well, after a commonality, after common Kevin Cosgrove, a name you guys are familiar with.
Hey,
2007, he had the worst defense in the history of Nebraska football. So, I mean, you know, there's this common feeling that we know a little bit about what you're going through. Because it took a while. You know, he was such a bad, bad coach that it took a while for our players, even with Bo Pelini's, you know, genius defensive mind or whatever, to get them to tackle well, even. So, you know, that's understandable, the position your defense is in. Kyle, go ahead.
No, they were, I think that's a good point on Cosgrove, is our kids just learn so many bad habits for the upperclassmen. I mean, they don't tackle well at all. That's what we've seen all season and last and the year before is missed tackles. You know, they're missing assignments. They're not in the right places. And when you've got kids, you know, that have been there 3 or 4 years and that's what you've learned, it's hard to unteach that when your instincts are to do that in a game. You know, you can coach them all you want, but when they get in there, then it's like, oh, we're going to react and play like we always have, which was what Everett Cosgrove was trying to do. So, and, you know, I think it explains a little bit about why they're as far behind as they are. Kind of the thing that they're going to hang their hat on was the elite defense. And so you guys, it seems like you're gaining form. I mean, the Wisconsin game wasn't pretty, but do you feel like the defense is coming around a bit?
Well, you know, the last thing we, you know, I mean, the last time we saw them, we had the greatest comeback in our school's history. And a lot of that, you know, the tough part of that is, do you attribute that to Braxton Miller getting injured and them Ohio State having to bring in Joe Bosserman, who, quite frankly, probably can't run faster than me and probably can't, well, he can throw a really deep ball, but not accurately, obviously.
No.
Or do you attribute to the fact that Nebraska's defense finally started, you know, stepped up and started playing football? I think when you're a fan or a guy watching your team, you're always the optimist and saying, yeah, we've turned it around. I think the struggle's been that, you know, Bo Pelini's defenses are based on man coverage. And we really had not found or not gotten the guys a group of really young secondary players that were doing the job they wanted them to do. So have they found the right combination now? You know, I don't know if we're going to know that for a while, you know. You guys will start Marquise Gray, right?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything differently, that if he's healthy enough to go, it looks like he will be. He'll be the guy.
And his passing accuracy hasn't been that good.
He's under 50% for the, you know, and here's the thing, like Q was, you know, he was a highly ranked kid as a quarterback, just didn't play. He missed his entire first year after high school due to academics. Then he came here and didn't play much quarterback, you know, the next year as a freshman. He played receiver all last year. And, you know, now he's being asked to run an offense and throw the ball when he just doesn't look that comfortable. But at the same time, I mean, the offensive line has struggled. So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to pin a lot of Gray's struggles throwing on him just because he doesn't have any time. The line, and I think that's been the two biggest issues for Minnesota, the offensive and defensive lines. They get no push on the defensive line, you know, no pressure, nothing up the middle to, you know, to try and cause havoc. And then offensively, they've just, I'd say the biggest reason Gray is starting a quarterback is because they cannot run between the tackles with their tailbacks. They just can't. So you need Gray in there as a threat to just even create something out of nothing, because otherwise it just hasn't happened for them.
Wow. Well, you know, we lost Jared Crick, our the guy that was supposed to be our All-American mm-hmm. defensive tackle. I think he had gotten injured on the last play of the Washington game, and I don't think he was really the same player since. You know, he sat out against Wyoming, and he probably wasn't playing at the level that everybody expected him to. But I think our defensive line, we'll see what happens. The guy that's his backup, yeah, is not the same caliber. He's still a pretty decent player, but maybe the expectations changed for our defensive line, too. I mean, you had Ndamukong Suh that everybody knows is a freak job.
Yep.
He's even a freak job at the NFL level. And for, you know, 2-3 years, Nebraskans got used to this defensive line that could put pressure on the quarterback all by themselves. And that's not very common. So I think for our defensive line, again, Nebraska fans are going to have to change their expectations. Cameron Meredith is probably one standout on the defensive end position he's been terrorizing quarterbacks most of the year. You know, you don't get a lot of sacks. You don't really see a lot of sacks like you used to. You know, people don't have a guy just stand back in a pocket and wait. You got all these guys that can move around, or they've got, you know, the offenses are designed so the ball comes out quick. So, but we'll see what happens, you know, the rest of the season with the defensive line. They do have to do better than they've done. You know, if we're going to beat teams like Michigan State, we're going to have to stop Edwin Baker, which means we're going to have to do a lot better in the, against the run than we have. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, State's a tough team. Now, it's a good point, too, about, you know, the way the college offense has changed. I mean, you see quarterbacks routinely now with, you know, 60, 70% completion percentage, which you just never did before. But, yeah, it's designed for a lot of quick hits and not letting the lines get there like they used to. Your offense, how are you feeling about things? I mean, it seems like you guys are going back to a bit of old-school Nebraska football, seeing a lot of option. Taylor Martinez, you know, maybe not quite near Crouch class, but, you know, runs the ball well, like a Scott Frost and like some of those guys used to. Are you happy with the direction the offense is going this year?
You know, you talk about growing pains, and being at the Wisconsin game, you know, I can't – we have a new offensive coordinator, you know. Sean Watson, the guy last year, went to, I think, Louisville. And we have a new offensive coordinator, he's had to learn right along with the team, because you go into the Wisconsin game, and for some reason he decides that he's going to throw the ball, I think, like 13 straight times.
Yeah.
And I don't get that. I don't get that, especially when Martinez has just thrown two bad interceptions. And I literally have stood up at halftime right when our team's coming out to take the ball the second half, and I stand up and yell, "We're going to be so much better this half because we won't be throwing the ball to the other team." And less than 1 minute later, Martinez rolls back and throws a pass right to Wisconsin, you know. And that's the game. And you're kind of going, why do we keep doing this?
Yeah.
But then you saw, you know, the comeback against Ohio State, again, going just one game back. You saw Martinez that didn't lose it like he did against Wisconsin. He really lost a lot of confidence when he was playing Wisconsin. But he gained, you know, at Ohio State, it was like they started figuring out, maybe we should start calling plays that this kid can actually execute. And the offense really took off in the second half. In fact, I think with like 4 minutes left in the third quarter of that game, we only had like 45 yards rushing or something. And we just, you know, blew the doors open. So, one thing about our offense is this. When you look at our receivers, I can't remember the last time that Nebraska actually had a group of receivers that you could call receivers. You could in the past maybe have said, okay, we got one, maybe two good receivers, but they're really good downfield blockers. And the thing about this group is they're really good receivers. Now, do they have a quarterback that can always get them the ball? No, that's a little, you know, that's questionable depending upon what day it is. But we have a true freshman named Jamal Turner that when he gets the ball, anything can happen, good or bad. And it's mostly been good. And then we have Kenny Bell who can just fly and catch the ball, which is kind of a rare combination for Nebraska. And then you've got, you know, players like Brandon Kenny, good, strong possession receiver. Started out the year kind of rough, but really has come on since and been the guy everybody wanted him to be, just be tough, physical, get yards after the catch kind of thing. Offensive line is probably about the youngest offensive line that Nebraska's ever had. Started a true freshman for the first time in school history on the offensive line. So I'd have to say that right now, it's funny when you look at Nebraska, people are talking more about the offensive strengths than they are the defensive strengths. And that certainly isn't where we thought we'd be, you know, at this point in the season, any point in this season. So that's a little different.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at your numbers. I mean, you guys are, you know, you're number two in scoring offense. You're up there in a lot of categories, running the ball, obviously, when you've got, you know, Martinez and Burkhead running the ball. But I mean, it's, you know, as you said, you guys are figuring things out with a new coordinator and Martinez trying to learn to be a quarterback. But I mean, gosh, that's pretty good if you guys are figuring things out and you basically have, you know, one of the top offenses in the Big Ten already.
Yeah, it is. And what's weird about I watched the Big Ten for a long time now, but I don't think anybody expected this level of defense out of the Big Ten conference. Not this season. Because if you look across the board, I mean, you've got Wisconsin's defense was supposed to be not very good, and they're pretty good.
Right.
Michigan State's defense was supposed to fall into the toilet, and what are they? They're like second in scoring defense or something. So yeah, it's and then Ohio State's defense is always, you know, Ohio State's defense. So.
Yeah, and I thought Michigan's guys have made some strides too under the new coordinator.
We'll see. You know, we'll see what happens in the next few weeks with the offense. I hope that I think the key is to keep that they didn't do early in the year, and part of the reason that they didn't do it in the early in the year is we have three freshman running backs that are supposed to be, you know, great recruits and da da da. But they didn't get Rex Burkhead as involved as they have in the last couple of games, and I think that he really is kind of the heart and soul of the offense. You know, the Martinez obviously is a quarterback, mm-hmm. and he can make big plays, but Rex Burkhead is that guy that, you know, you're just going to get him the ball, and he's going to get 4 yards every play. Whenever he touches the ball, that's it. He's getting yardage.
Yeah, he's the workhorse guy you need to get there. Finally, John, for Saturday, thoughts on if this one, can it all be close? I mean, my only hope is that the week off does some kind of wondrous miracle for Minnesota and they find some of that winning ways that they had against USC, you know, in the second half earlier in the year, and that maybe, just maybe, Nebraska's overlooking them with Michigan State's game looming next week. I think that's, from my perspective, that's about the only hope we've got of a close game. What do you think?
Well, I think that whether or not Nebraska plays down, you know, again, is the key to how much we're going to score. I think that there's no overlooking. I think this team hasn't proven anything so far, and that the Wisconsin beatdown is still in the back of their heads. So if they actually come out and it's, what is the spread? It's like 26 points or something?
Oh, yeah, 25 and a half or 26.
You know, I expect us to beat that spread. I really do, because you guys are, you're struggling. And
yep.
I expect the team to show, I expect the team that showed up in the last part of the Ohio State game to walk out on the field. And if they don't walk out on the field like they did in the last part of the Ohio State game, you're going to go, okay, well, what are you going to do the rest of the season? You're going to do this kind of up and down thing? I mean, we are a young team, too. I mean, when you look at all the guys that we're playing, we have a very young offense. We have a very young defense. But at the same time, you know, get it going. Get it together. Get some consistency. If you expect to win a Big Ten title or you expect to win your division, that's what you have to do. So I don't think it'll be close. I think that Nebraska will come out and, you know, put the game away in the first half.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's what we'll get. I hope I'm surprised, but either way, I got to be honest, just I think it'll just be cool to have Nebraska in town and to have Big Red come into TCF Bank Stadium. And we're going to get this every year, either at our place or at yours, kind of the start of a new tradition, a new divisional opponents. And looking, again, despite the fact I think it'll be lopsided, definitely looking forward to it.
Well, you know, the good news for Minnesota is that thousands of Nebraskans will come up there here and spend their money at the Mall of America and boost
yep.
the local economy.
Yeah, the mall and the bars and the restaurants will be they'll be happy to welcome as many as the Big Red faithful as they can as they want to come up. So,
yep. Anything? Wait,
well,
wait a minute. You know what? Let me ask you a couple questions real quick.
Yeah.
So you guys. You guys in the running back department have had like the angry Old Testament God who hates running backs strike you. Is that correct? You've lost two or three, or what's the deal?
I tell you, since Glenn Mason left, it's like he put a curse on the team that we were just never going to have a good running back again. And it's, oh man, it's been awful. Yeah, our top rusher last year, who wasn't great, he was just like, you know, a 3 yards a carry guy that would always fall forward and keep his shoulders square and run between the line. But he left, went out to San Jose State for personal reasons. It's just been one guy after another. So we've lost him. Bennett's been beat up, but I think he's healthy. Hopefully Kirkwood's healthy, but it's just it's a deal where I think we only had like two or three guys healthy for that last game against Purdue, which is why only two of them got carries. So yeah, it's been. That's again, the line hasn't been great over the last few years, but boy, we just have been really lacking in good runners. And that's, you know, back to the Mason era with guys like Maroney and Barber and some of the other ones. I mean, that's one thing we at least know what a good running back looks like, and just haven't had it.
And then you've got Dejon McKnight, and then who else is receivers?
And McKnight might be one of the best receivers in the conference, but we can't get him the ball. We either don't have enough time or don't have a play to get it to him or throw it 6 feet over his head. But, yeah, he's the guy. Eric Lair is a tight end, is a good receiving tight end. And, again, it's still adjusting to an offense that traditionally with Coach Kill hasn't thrown to the tight ends much, so they're trying to get them a little more involved. Malcolm Moulton was a junior college transfer. He's actually been pretty good. He's not big. He's only about 5'10". But he's caught the ball well, runs pretty good routes. He's, I think, their second leading receiver right now. And then the totally random guy was a true freshman named Marcus Jones, who they recruited as, I think, like a two-star or one-star cornerback out of North Carolina. And where, you know, we had a lot of receivers in the infirmary in the spring, and I guess they liked his speed and threw him over there, and he responded, so he's been pretty good in the slot. You know, he's not a consistent go-to guy by any means, and certainly not on the planes of, like, you know, a Jamal Turner, what you guys have. But he's got a little bit of scoot to him and can do it. But that's really the receiving corps. There's a lot of question marks and guys that we're hoping have done better that haven't after that. But it's really McKnight and Moulton. You'll see Marcus Jones and then probably Lair at tight ends.
Okay. Well, you got any other questions for me?
I think that'll do it. I think okay. We have a good learning experience as always. So appreciate you coming on. You can read John Johnston on cornnation.com on the SB Nation Nebraska Cornhuskers blog. And you guys won't need it, but best of luck to you on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Good luck with rebuilding. And I guess, you know, we don't have a hockey team, but I don't know if we have a basketball team either. We'll find out, you know?
But you've got football, so that's all that matters right now.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, take care.
Thanks again, John. Well, that'll about wrap it up for us. Kickoff 2:30 Saturday at TCF Bank Stadium. If you can't be there, among a sea of maroon and gold and I'm sure a lot of red. It'll be on ABC for most of the country, ESPN2 for a few of you outside of the Midwest. Again, big thanks to John Johnston from Corn Nation. I am Jeffrick for the Daily Gopher Podcast, signing off. And as always, stay classy, go Gophers, and we'll talk to you next week.